Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a joyful occasion it is for us to return and be here today and to study the Word of God together. I bring greetings from Springfield, Missouri and Seminole Baptist Temple, where I'm privileged to serve, and God is being abundantly gracious to our church, and we're so thankful for the opportunity to serve that congregation and the love that they are showing to our family. Speaking of our family, greetings from the Kolbs. My children that are here and my children who are not here extend their love to you and appreciation for the time we were able to serve together here and serve with you and be a part of this congregation. I always tell folks that Grace Baptist Church was a wonderful church to raise a family in, and you blessed our family and loved on my kids, and so they certainly share greetings and send their love as well. It is good for us former members to come back and join in this wonderful celebration with the current membership at Grace Baptist Church, and to tell of the kindness of the Lord and to give Him glory for all that He has done. And words cannot adequately express what God has accomplished outwardly and inwardly and eternally through the Word and through this church. And to that eternity will await. Amen? And we will share those things at that time. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. It's page 820 in your pew Bible. Colossians chapter 3. The focus this morning is going to be how God works when the church gathers. Titled that the sermon this morning, Gathering Grace. Gathering Grace. And it is a grace to gather with God's people, isn't it? Let me try that again. It is a grace to gather with God's people, isn't it? And for some of you, you've been gathering a really long time here at Grace. And I was doing just, you know, non-accountant math. In other words, that's pastoral. 50 years, 2.5 services or gatherings of the church on average in a week, give or take some snow days, give or take COVID, give or take, you know, those times when holidays and you postpone it, or maybe a summer break or something like that. So 2.5, 2.3, something like, we're talking like somewhere between 6,000, 6,500 services that have occurred over 50 years in a space that was called Grace Baptist Church. I drove my family by the CB shop earlier this week, where the first meetings of Grace were in Brother Rickard's basement, and then it was in the basement of the CB shop over off of, I don't even know what street that's on, over by the Embassy Suites there in St. Charles. And we just paused, and I just said, kids, this is kind of where it got launched. And then merged with another church and moved into their property. And I was talking to one of the older members, and they said, and we moved out of that property before the roof fell in, and moved into a trailer here on the property. And it just, I mean, the story just continues about the gathering spaces that God has given us to assemble and to study His Word together. And what a blessing it is for Christians to gather with God's people. What a rich treasure to come every Sunday morning and know that you are going to be able to sing with other people the glories of Christ and open the Word of God and hear it taught and engage with other people who also love the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a rich treasure. And those of you this morning who do not have that blessing in your life, I would commend to you the greatest thing for your spiritual good is to connect to a local church. And in this area, I do recommend this one. If you move to Springfield, I'll talk to you about another one. What a joy to gather with God's people. So, what do you think about God's gathering? God's people, every Sunday, together, and the joy that it is. I was most recently here at Rod Hill's funeral service, and I couldn't help but remember one of the things Rod Hill used to always say to me. Rod was a student of Scripture. He loved podcasts and videos and gospel preaching as much as he could get it and study it and read it and so forth. He just loved it. But he would often say to me, he said, "Pastor, the most important message from God for me every week is the one you preach to me on Sunday morning. I prioritize that above all others," he says, "because all of those other speakers I listen to on the radio, they don't know me. They don't know the circumstance of my life. They're not visiting me in the hospital, right? They don't know the burdens that I carry, but you do. And the Spirit of God is going to speak through you, through the Word, to minister to my circumstance. I'm not going to miss Sunday morning. I'm going to gather with God's people." I hope you feel the same way. When you think about the Sunday morning gathering, do you know that God's Word says it should be the priority of your Sunday morning? Are you ever confused about some of the things that happen in a local church when they gather? Do you leave the gathering of the local church with a thankful heart, rejoicing, or with a critical heart, judging? This morning we are celebrating 50 years of Christ's work in the multitude of gatherings of our congregation at Grace. We recognize God's blessing. As we open to Colossians chapter 3, we understand that Paul is writing to the gathered believers in the church of Colossae, that he is encouraging them based on who they are in Christ, their identity, in chapters 1 and 2, to grow in Christ, to put on the image of Christ, to put on those garments in chapter 3, to set their mind on the things of the Lord, verse 1, chapter 3, that there would be a radical change in how they live their life. They would dress differently. Their attitudes and actions would be transformed because of Christ's work in them. Specifically in verse 13 and 14 of chapter 3, they would bear with one another, forgive each other, and love at all times. And that could be a really good three-point outline for a 50th anniversary. But it's not going to be ours today. But for a church to survive 50 years, those things have to be in place, right? You bear with one another. You bore with me a number of years, and I with you. And we forgave each other when we struggled and failed. And we certainly chose to love each other. Praise the Lord. Our text this morning is in verse 15 through 17. Paul has been speaking to the Christian about specific behaviors and attitudes that should define them, that would make them more like Christ. And he moves from a general challenge of their personal spiritual growth to specific application about how they relate to one another when they gather. Verse 15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." May the Lord bless his word in our hearts, in our gathering today. Let me just exegete this text for us briefly this morning. There are five marks of the gathering that are impacted by your pursuit of Christ. So when you pursue Christ, and as you are transformed by the Word, it transforms the gathering of the church. What you bring to the gathering impacts the gathering. What are those marks? He mentions first peace, the peace of God. We gather in Christian unity because of Christ. We have peace with God. If you have that today, say amen. You know you are no longer his enemy. You are his child. Christ accomplished that. And because we have peace with God and his design, he brought us into unity with each other. Being a child of God means we're part of a family. So look around at your family. Those who also, through Christ, are right with God. We have unity with one another. And what Paul says to the Colossian church is, as we grow in this understanding of our peace with God and with one another, it rules, it umpires. In other words, the relationship we have with God becomes the deciding factor in how we relate together. It's the trump card. Verse number 11 says, Christ is all and in all. So if you've come to know Christ today and your identity is in him, then everyone else who has that identity, we share that bond. And it determines how we relate. It impacts what we do. Some people look at a local church like this and they think, well, what binds them together is maybe a common ethnicity or common heritage. When I first came here, we had a lot of folks that had moved up from Arkansas, and they moved here to find jobs, but that didn't define our church, that we were a bunch of people who moved here for jobs. Sometimes people look at a church and they think, well, what binds that church together is a common political ethnos or philosophy. They back a certain person. That does not define the church of Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a style of music that binds a church together, or it's the school that all the kids go to, or other kind of school they don't go to, or it's the benefits they get because they're a part of the local church. No, my friend, Paul's clear. What the deciding factor is the work of Christ in our life that binds us together, that causes us to gather. The word human body, or the illustration of the human body, is referenced here in the passage. And the body is like the church in that sense. The body has to work together and not fight against itself. We had an illustration of that in my first year or two of being here at the church. Our dear pastor's wife, Faye Butcher, contracted a disease called the Wagner's disease. And man, she went downhill fast. And we were praying, had all-night prayer meetings for her, and we were lifting her up before the Lord, and by chance, kind of, I think it was like a visiting doctor, went in and looked at her charts, and I remember with Brother Butcher, we thought she was going to die. We drove up here to the hillside, and he showed me where her plot would be. It was just, we didn't think she would make it, but we prayed, and the doctor said she's got this very rare disease called Wagner's disease. And her internal organs were being attacked by her own immunity system. And so the body was fighting itself, and the solution to get her well was to suppress her own immune system. And when the body attacks itself, death is near. And when the members of the church don't live with love and peace and harmony, when there's not the unity of Christ that is ruling in the gathered assembly, death is near. Peace of God keeps us from attacking one another. It keeps us from discarding members and rejecting them. It keeps us loving them and bearing with them. We see another mark is that they gather around the gospel. There's a gospel focus. It says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The message about the Messiah is what the church focuses on. It's about Jesus. When we gather, we sing about him, and we celebrate him, and we speak about him, and we open his word and talk about him, and we tell the good news. And we have good news to tell. Listen, a holy God created all of us, but in our rebellion, we have all chosen to reject his supreme authority. We've said no to the creator, and we'll follow the created being, namely ourself. We get on the throne of our own lives and the throne of the expression of how we live, and we want to say it and tell it, don't we? It's called sin. It's a rejection of God. Yet God loved us so much, he sent his son Jesus Christ to this earth, knowing we could not cover our own sin, but Christ, through his perfect life and atoning death, provided the covering that each one of us need. And if by faith we put our trust in what Christ has done for us, we have eternal life. We possess forgiveness of sins. We have the opportunity to come under his authority once again and delight in him as King and Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you have never heard the gospel story, anyone who has that shirt on that says Grace Baptist Church, no matter what color it is, they would be glad to share with you and rehash the summary of the gospel I just shared with you. They would love for you to know nothing about our church, but everything about our Savior. That's the most important thing. We gather around the gospel. It is our focus. The text says it dwells in us. In other words, it takes up residence when we gather. When I think about the word dwelling, I think about my own home. And recently I had a graduation and I had my son-in-law and her daughter and my two granddaughters at my house. My kids can graduate every week if it brings my granddaughters back. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty special. And okay, kids, you're pretty special too, all right? But my son-in-law wanted some tea. He's like, hey, you know where the water pot is? You know where the, yep, go ahead. Feel free. Make yourself at home. But what I never told my son-in-law was, you know what, here's the remote. You can control the TV, right? You're visiting, but the TV and the remote, that's mine. I never said to my son-in-law, you know what, go on out to the garage and just go ahead and use anything, rearrange it all, just make it how you would want it. I don't tell my son-in-law that because he's there to visit, not dwell, right? He's not dwelling. He's not taking up residence. Now, the granddaughters can, but he's not. Paul says, you know what takes up residence when the church gathers? The gospel does. The gospel rearranges everything about the church. What we sing about, what we pray about, what we speak about, what we talk to one another about, the gospel dwells here. That's why Paul said to Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. Third, we gather to spur mutual growth through intentional conversation. We are our brother's keeper. In fact, let's just do that. Let's look at somebody and say, I am my brother's keeper. Would you just tell that to somebody next to you? I am my brother's keeper. The Bible anticipates the church of Christ working together for lives to be transformed. In other words, one of God's tools of grace in your life are the people sitting around you. The text says that they teach and admonish. They instruct and warn. They encourage and confront. And that we do that amongst ourselves when we gather. When we come together, this is something not just the pastors do, but it's something each one of us have a part in. The Christian journey is not a private affair. It's not where, man, I just come to church and I just get in my holy space and turn all the lights down because it's all about me and Jesus. No, it's not about all you and Jesus. It begins with Jesus in you, but when Jesus comes in you, you've got a whole lot of other people around you. And they might be instructing you, and they might be warning you, and they might be encouraging you, and they're walking the journey with you. And that's a blessing. That's grace upon grace upon grace, that we're not doing the Christian journey in this world in isolation. In fact, the more mature we are in Christ, the more we lean into the support that's offered to us in the local church. The less mature we are in Christ and the less we pursue after Christ, the less we value the one another ministries of the local church. Fourth mark is we gather with a heart ready to sing. Well, just a heartfelt singing that comes together, a singing that says, I am here to sing to encourage other people. It's not about my ability to sing, is it? It's about my heart in singing, that I lift up a song of grace to the Lord, of thanksgiving to Him, of testifying of His gospel to other people. And it's not just one type of song. It's a variety of songs that we get to sing, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. It's as if Paul was saying to the Colossian church, there's not one song that can capture all the goodness that you're going to be expressing from your heart. It comes from all over. A variety of music helps us do that. Heartfelt singing is a mark of what we do in the church. And we could tell stories about all the mistakes I made when I was the song leader singing. But man, it was a joy Sunday after Sunday to watch you lift up the Lord in song. And to be here today to hear that continue. A fifth mark is we gather to do all those things, but then we scatter. We scatter to live for God's glory. I think that's what verse 17 is saying. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. You see, because we gather together and we hear the word of God and we speak truth to one another and we sing His truth and God is at work in us, we go from this place and we're different. We're changed. He's working progressively in our life so that instead of us going into our everyday week and everyday life living for ourselves, we do it for His glory. We do it with His label on us. Like if I had maybe a hat this morning I could wear, say Nike or Converse or Missouri State or, you know, whatever, that's the label and I kind of represent that label. But when we go from this place and we go from this gathering and we go from this assembly, we bear the label Jesus Christ. And we have to remember that everything we do is attached to that label, amen? And we want Him to receive glory. So when you're out loving the person no one else in your neighborhood wants to love, or you're out being faithful to your family and serving at your own expense, people go, oh, I attach that action to that label in the name of Jesus. Let's go in the name of Jesus. Well, that's all the exposition of the text. Now let me just lean into some application. So on this 50th anniversary of Grace Baptist Church, I think there's three actions that are called for. The first action is this. I'm going to speak directly to the church this morning. You, church, you, Grace Baptist Church, should pause and consider God's grace in providing a gathering at Grace Baptist. Just pause and consider the grace upon grace that God has given you, that you get to gather here every Sunday. It was God's grace that this church began 50 years ago in this community. I was talking with Reuben just yesterday, and he was so excited as he was talking about the 50th anniversary and about all that God had done in years past. He said, I just love history. He said, someone did a lot of the heavy lifting for us who have just arrived. Well, that person who did the heavy lifting was God. He did a work in Pastor Ricker's heart. He did a work in bringing Brother Bill and Sister Faye here. He arranged the leadership. He established this church. It was God's grace that sovereignly arranged for your life then at some point in one of those decades in which you stood to intersect with this church body. Think about how you came in contact with grace this morning. Just consider God's work in that. Maybe it was a parent that brought you and put you in a nursery. I said to one of the young couples that was used to, you know, we used to take them to youth camp, and now here they are grown up and they've got kids and they're introducing me to their kids. And I just said, man, just keep having kids. Just keep filling up the nursery. Keep bringing kids to church. Keep raising your kids in church. What life and vibrancy there is this morning as I just saw all the kids here. Praise the Lord. Maybe a parent brought you. Maybe somebody came and knocked on your door. I was talking to Johnny Tibbs. We used to make water calls in O'Fallon back when O'Fallon had about 10,000 people, or now it's got like 100,000 people. Like O'Fallon blew up while we were here. It just grew and grew and grew, and we used to invite people, just leaving a track on their door and telling them there's a church over in St. Charles. We'd love to have you come visit. Maybe someone on bus visitation on a Saturday morning knocked on your door and said, we'd like to pick up your kids. Bring your kids to church. Or someone gave a tract with an invite card. Maybe somebody called you and invited you to a play. Just think about how God brought you here to where you could begin to gather with this body. It was God's grace that this church practiced these marks when you arrived. Now, grace has never perfectly practiced those five traits. We've never perfectly done what Paul is telling the Colossian church. We haven't always got it right. There were seasons we weren't nearly, you know, where you guys are today by God's grace. But we've been striving for that. I remember when I first came, Brother Butcher, you say, keep the main thing. Amen. Keep the main thing. The main thing. Keep the gospel focus. There were particular people who manifest many of these traits, and many of them have been mentioned. When I arrived, two couples I particularly got to work with, one much older than me and one my age, was Bill and Guida Bain, worked in the junior high department when I arrived as youth pastor, and Sean and Jana Ray. Worked alongside us in the youth ministry. And let me tell you, what a blessing it was that when God brought my journey with him to Grace Baptist, that I got to be with those individuals who modeled these traits, who were patient with me and encouraged me and exhorted me and instructed me and prayed over me and sang with me and visited with me. We could go on and on. There's just too many names to mention. As I look over the list, I just chuckle and give thanks. What's the point? Well, God raised up a church, and God in his grace, by his Spirit, brought you into contact with that church so that you and I could be changed and transformed more into his image, so that when we go live our life and wear his label, we're consistent with the gospel and we give a favorable testimony of Christ in this community. And by God's grace, that's continuing today. We need to today pause and consider God's work of grace in just having a church here. And for some of you who have always been in the United States or always been in like the buckle of the Bible Belt in Missouri, and you see churches on every corner, you need to go to places around this world where there is no assembly of Christ followers. When we think of over 8 billion people that are alive today, and a vast majority of them haven't heard the gospel presented that you have heard even this morning. And they don't have the opportunity to assemble together, much less in a place like this, but with people like this. They don't have that opportunity. They don't know where they're at. They can't find them. What that compels us to do as a church and as a group of believers is to say, we need to raise up more pastors and send more people. We need more church planters. So that God in His sovereign plan can provide more opportunities for two or three to be gathered in His name. We should pause and consider God's grace in providing a gathering. But secondly, we should communicate gratitude for the gathering at Grace Baptist Church. That's the application comes right from the passage. In each of the verses, verse 15, 16, and 17, the word thanks or thanksgiving is there. This call to appreciation is appropriate for us on this occasion. We are to be thankful. That's an internal reality. We are to do things with thanksgiving. And the focus of it is thanksgiving thanks to God, our Father, for all that He has done. I'll be honest with you, we can get so involved in a local church, we can begin to take the gathering of the church for granted. You with me on that? We just take it for granted. Well, it's going to happen on Sunday. Might not matter if I show up or not show up. Same thing, same old, you sing a song, open the scriptures, pray a prayer, say amen, go home. And we begin to just take for granted what God has provided for our spiritual good. It becomes easy to be discouraged with the gathering of the church because maybe it didn't tickle your fancy on a particular Sunday. Or maybe somebody was doing one another's and they encouraged you or they warned you, they stepped on your toes. And like, wow, it's just better if I don't show up. If they're going to treat me like that, they're going to say those things, right? It's easy to become discouraged at times with the assembly God has provided. It's easy to become discontent. Because man, the grass is always greener syndrome. We can look out and look around and think, oh man, they do this better. That church has this program, they go there. And we go, you know, there's something missing here. You know what corrects those three things? Is thanksgiving. And before you turn the key in your car, before you leave the parking lot, before you have preacher for dinner, why don't you just vocalize something about the gathering of the church every Sunday that you can give thanks for? Oh God, it was so good. We got to sing your praise. God, we have the Word of God. And we had somebody faithfully expound it. God, I got to see a brother who was struggling and you gave me the words to encourage him with. Where I was struggling, I was hurting, and somebody spoke a word of encouragement to me. Praise the Lord. God, thank you. I want to go from this place with a heart of thanksgiving. Communicate gratitude for the gathering of the church. Because your life is changed through Christ because of the church gathering. I am not the person I was. Because I've assembled with Grace Baptist Church. We used to sing the song, I Thank God for the Lighthouse. How many have been in the choir sang that song here, I Thank God for the Lighthouse? A lot of us. And we had Sunday school campaign, the Lighthouse campaign. We had a lighthouse on the platform and the light would turn on and shine around. But the reality is that the church, while we reflect the light of Christ, we aren't the lighthouse. The light doesn't come from us. The verse of that says, Jesus is the lighthouse. And when we gather together as a church body and we come into close contact with Christians who show us and point us to the light of Christ, you can't help but be changed by Christ, the lighthouse. Thirdly, you should commit. Here's our third action. You should commit to the responsibilities of the gathering at Grace. Now, those marks that Paul encouraged the Colossian church to do. Listen, church member at Grace Baptist, those are your responsibilities. Paul is saying to you today through the word, let us, he includes himself in that, he's kind. He would say, you need to let the peace of God rule and unite yourselves together under the grace, the banner of the gospel. You need to come focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ, prioritizing the gospel above preference or style or pragmatism. You should long for the gospel through the week. Look for the gospel when you come to this place. Love the gospel when you hear it, and live the gospel when you leave. That's your responsibility. That's a choice you make. That's a commitment of the membership of this church. You should recommit to speaking the truth in love, to engage your brothers and sisters in Christ intentionally for gospel growth, to spur on others. That means you come not for what you get out of church, but you come for what you can bring to the church. It may mean getting out of your comfort zone and learning the names of people who've recently joined so that you can pray for them and love them, that you can teach them what Christ and others have taught you about his goodness and kindness and faithfulness in trials and struggles and through death. It may mean staying a little bit after a service to connect with people, taking them out to eat, engaging the lonely, isolated, and disgruntled. We speak truth to one another. We commit to that. We commit to singing with the church, participating in the confession of Christ together, affirming sound teaching, lifting up good truth. And church, we commit to, every time we leave this place, stitching the label of Christ where everybody can see. And yes, we represent the church we are a member at. But man, the church we are a member at lifts up Christ. So we represent Christ. And we leave this place in whatever we do. Whatever you do this week, do all to his glory. Man, we have much to celebrate. Christ's work in this place has been rich in times past, and it continues to be strong today. And I'm so thankful for all the good reports that I hear. I want to encourage you, church. Be instant in season and out of season. Lift up the name of Christ as you go. Sing his praise. Exhort one another. Let the word or the message of Christ, the gospel of Christ, dwell richly in you and among you for God's glory. Amen.